Andy Strickland joins us once again. Andy, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, Jason. How are you?
I'm well. Tarasenko, $7.5 million per season. I have yet to see anybody really complaining about this contract. A good deal for him. A good deal for the St. Louis Blues. Is Tarasenko a guy now they look at to become a 40-goal, 80-point guy regularly?
Well, I think he's got that potential. There's no question. You know, it's going to be interesting, Jason, five or six years down the road. You know, are we calling this guy a 3-4-time 40-goal scorer, a 2-time 50-goal scorer? I mean, he's got so much potential. This guy is so dynamic, Jason, as you mentioned, in terms of his ability to score goals. He can score goals in so many different ways. He can score them in tight. He can score them from distance. He can beat you to your left. He can beat you to your right. He can beat NHL defensemen regularly in one-on-one situations. He can beat you wide. He can go through you. He's that strong. And, again, his ability to score from distance is, you know, arguably the most impressive area of his goal-scoring prowess. Is, you know, I mean, this guy doesn't do it with slap shots either, just one-timers, so just live and die on the power play. I mean, he scores a ton of even strength goals. He's got a quick release. His wrist shot is absolutely lethal. And he's a great teammate, responsible inside of his own end. He can distribute the puck off the pass, very unselfish off the rush. So he's kind of the complete package you look for right now in a National Hockey League superstar.
What did you make of the TJ Oshie trade?
I wasn't surprised at all. There's been a lot of talk about Oshie being dealt really for the last year, going back to last summer. There was some talk with the Boston Bruins, trickled into Pittsburgh much of this offseason. There were some other teams involved as well. I think this frees up for Tarasenko to even take on a bigger role, to be able to play more minutes, some more power play time, opens up some space on the right side, even though Brouwer will certainly be a guy they count on to produce for the right wing position. It also gave him a little bit of cap flexibility, too, by moving Oshie out. A little bit of savings there from that standpoint, even though I don't think that had to be. The trade had to be made to sign a guy like Tarasenko. But, you know, listen, Oshie's a really good player, there's no doubt. And a lot of these guys who you've heard in trade rumors throughout the offseason here in St. Louis, guys like David Backes, Alexander Steen, Oshie, Patrick Berglund, all these guys are very, very good players. There are nights when, you know, a guy like Steen can look like a superstar, where he just looks absolutely great. But for one reason or another, collectively, this team hasn't been able to get it done over the course of the last several years. And they're trying to identify the reasons for that. They wanted to get faster. If you're not going to get faster, you might as well get bigger. That's what they've done with Trey Brouwer. I think he's more of a complete player than Oshie. Over 200 hits, 8 power play goals last season compared to Oshie's 3. A few years back, Trey Brouwer had 12 power play goals. He scored more goals than Oshie in 4 of the last 5 seasons. Very good on the PK, gives you another look in the slot on the power play. And again, he's a bigger body on the wall. So, you know, you have players on the roster like Oshie. A lot of these guys play the same way. Brouwer kind of fits that mold as well, although Oshie's not as physical as Brouwer is. But a guy who's won before, I think you get a more complete player, even though Oshie certainly brings more skill and more flash.
Andy Strickland joins us from St. Louis. The speed factor, did you feel, and you watch them very closely, do you think they lack speed in their top 9?
They look like it against Minnesota, for sure. I mean, Minnesota looked like the quicker team, and then Minnesota looked like a slow team against Chicago, right? They got swept in 4 games against the Blackhawks. So they came down to earth real quick. But, yeah, St. Louis looks slow. I mean, you look at their roster right now, up front, I don't know, outside of Tarasenko, Schwartz. You know, Schwartz isn't exactly a burner. Tarasenko can play at a real, fast pace, and he can show some explosiveness. But, Schwartz can play fast. He's very quick in tight areas, too. His change of direction is exceptional. But I wouldn't exactly call him, a high-motor guy. So again, you look at the Blues from a speed standpoint, they probably don't stack up to some of the faster teams in the league, but they've got some real good players. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. When you look at Tarasenko and Schwartz and Paul Stastny and David Backes and Alexander Steen, Dmitry Yaskin, I mean, that's those are some pretty good players. Robbie Favre is going to come into the league next year as a rookie for the Blues, a former first-round pick. I just watched him the last couple of days, again here with the prospect camp that's going on here in St. Louis. This kid has a chance to be a good player. A little undersized, but again, a good hockey player. And they've got good players in the back end with Shattenkirk and Pietrangelo, Bo Meester. You'll see some new faces back there, too, with Terry Lindbom and Robert Bortuzzo. You know, are they the fastest team in the league? To answer your question here, Jason, no. But again, can they be a contending team with their, you know, when, you know, with the current group they have in place right now? I think you'd have to say yes based off of what they've done in the last several regular seasons.
Andy, when I heard these Shattenkirk rumors, it didn't make a lot of sense to me because they've got Pietrangelo, him, and Bo Meester as their top three. And then to me, there's a little bit of a gap after that as far as having another dominant top four defenseman just yet. Were those just bogus rumors? Do you think there's anything to that?
Well, the Blues say they're bogus, so I'm going to take them at their word for it. I mean, I don't know why you trade Kevin Shattenkirk, who's got, you know, one of the most cap-friendly contracts in the league right now. He was a Norris Trophy finalist, if not favorite, prior to him going down with a January injury last year. The Blues have nobody else on their roster right now like him on the right side who are a top five power play quarterback in the National Hockey League, could even be top three. This guy is that good in terms of his ability to control the power play and distribute. Great hockey sense, great vision, great playmaking ability. Knows when to jump into the rush. Just a good hockey player. They've got some guys who are coming into the organization in the next few years. Jordan Schmaltz, who played the last couple of years at the University of North Dakota, former first-round pick. He just turned pro. He'll play his first year in Chicago this year, but not ready to play in the National Hockey League just yet. There's a kid by the name of Tommy Vanelli who played in the Western Hockey League the last couple of years with Medicine Hat. He's turning pro as well. But again, far off, down the radar, not ready to play in the National Hockey League. I don't know why you would trade Kevin Shattenkirk if your objective is to truly get better. If you're looking to get worse,
yeah,
then I guess you'd look to trade Shattenkirk. If you're looking to get better, I don't trade Kevin Shattenkirk.
Andy Strickland joins us. You mentioned the Blues look slow against the Wild. Ken Hitchcock signs a one-year contract extension. A lot of people wondering, okay, is this the last hurrah for him? Do the Blues, do they have to play a different style? I know that some people wonder if they play such a playoff style all year long that when the playoffs come, they can't ramp it up. I'm not exactly sure if there's any truth to that, Andy. You watch how they play, and we know that Ken Hitchcock's very much a stickler to detail. Is there anything to that? Do they need to alter how they play to have more success?
Possibly. I mean, but the reality is, I look at St. Louis, and you look at a team like Chicago, for example. Chicago can win at 80%. I'm not so sure the Blues can win at 80%. And the way they play, you almost have to play that way to win. Now, you can do some other things to make the environment a little looser around there where guys maybe aren't walking on eggshells or, you know, stressed out throughout the course of the season. To win should be fun. It shouldn't be stressful. And they've got a good team. And, you know, listen, they've been 100 points the last couple of years. You know, they've won the division two out of the last 3 years. It could have been three straight years if they didn't have a six-game collapse a time ago, you know, prior to this past season. So maybe not as much emphasis on winning every single game during the course of the regular season. You want to go out there, you want to compete, you want to win every time you take the ice. I get that. But if you lose, I think it's okay. And you have to be willing and be able to turn the page and not live and die with every win and loss. I think it's important to maintain an even keel in the National Hockey League. And teams who are better at managing the highs and lows typically have more success. It's just that simple. And listen, whenever you lose in the first round and you have high expectations 3 years in a row, these are the things you talk about, Jason. I don't know if they're relevant or not, but when you don't meet expectations and you have really good regular seasons and then you struggle in the playoffs, these type of topics and discussions are created.
Do you think the TJ Oshie trade had anything to do with how he plays and has played in the playoffs? Because he's had a lot of regular season success as far as points go, but not a ton of success in the playoffs.
I think that's a valid point. I mean, listen, if TJ Oshie tore it up in the playoffs the last couple of years, do I think he gets traded? Probably not. You know? But he was a fan favorite here. Again, a very good hockey player, right? Very good player. But the results haven't been there in the playoffs. So, and again, he's not a high productive player during the regular season either. I mean, the guy's always, I think he's got one 20-goal season, and he's always around 50 points. Again, we all know about the flash and what he's able to do in his shootouts. You're going to see fewer shootouts, at least likely this season, with the 3-on-3 overtime format. So that may have affected his value in the trade market at least a little bit. TJ Oshie is a really good player, and he'll fit in very well with the Washington Capitals and continue to do his thing. But at the end of the day, like I said, when you don't have success in the playoffs and you fail to meet expectations when they're set, you know, when the bar is set pretty high, then typically you see changes as a result. And it just so happened to be TJ Oshie, as of now, is the odd man out.
Who is Tarasenko going to play with full-time next season, do you think?
Well, that's a good question, Jason. I kind of hope that you're going to see him with Paul Stastny to start the year and just see if they can find a way to make it work. You know, Hockey 101 tells you to put your best puck distributor with your top offensive or most dangerous offensive player. That would tell you right there to put Stastny with Tarasenko. Now, with that being said, Tarasenko has shown his best chemistry with Jordy Laterra, who came over last season as a rookie, played the last, you know, the several years before that in the KHL, even though he's from Finland, just signed a 3-year contract extension, still has 1 year left on his existing deal, so they've got him locked up for 4 more years. It can kind of go either way between Stastny and Laterra. Again, he showed great chemistry with Laterra, especially at the beginning of the year last year. I mean, Laterra got off to a red hot start. Then he kind of slid a little bit as the season progressed. Wasn't as good down the stretch as they had hoped. He had an injury in the playoffs. That certainly limited him. But you're paying Paul Stastny $7 million. There was a lot of excitement a year ago at this time with the addition of Paul Stastny, who's from St. Louis. I would really like to see an opportunity for him to play with Tarasenko long-term, even if they don't click automatically right off the bat. Put them together in training camp. Let them play every shift together in the preseason. Try to make this thing work.
Andy, always great to talk to you. One last one. David Backes, he's a UFA at the end of next season. There's been varying reports on him. Do you expect a contract extension before the season begins?
That's a good question. I would say before the season begins, no. To answer your question. But again, do I think they will try to re-sign him before he hits the open market? I would suggest that there will certainly be conversations at some point between the Blues and David Backes about a long-term extension. But as it sits right now, I do not expect David Backes to sign before the beginning of the regular season.
Andy, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the summer off. We might talk a little baseball with you next time.
There you go. Anytime, man. Give me a shout.